Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, evil stepmothers, celestial dads, and rebellious teens alike, we welcome you all to the wonderful world of Disney's Animation Studios, or Systematic Geekology Reviewing Animation Studios. Guys, this is going to be a weird episode. This is part of our flagship series for our annual theme of 2025 polarization, our series being Finding the Good. This is going to be weird for a couple of reasons. It's not one of our Disney animated episodes, but I did that intro, and I'm probably still going to use that music because I like it. Maybe not. We'll see. No, I am. But anyway. Also, it's going to be different than Finding the Good because we're not. Usually, we pick a side and then try to defend the other side. Disney wants us to pick the kid's side. So instead, we're going to try to find the good in Disney's parents throughout their movies. We're going to have a fun time with it. Both Pixar and Disney animated films are on the ground here because I didn't feel like playing ref in case my co-host accidentally said Pixar. And we're like, wait a minute, that's not technically Disney. So I'm not going to be that geek today. If you want that geek, come back another day. I'll do that. I can do it. I'm just not doing it today. Yeah. I am, of course, am Joshua Knoll, probably the biggest Diz nerd of the group, although Evan's giving me a run for the money. And today I am here with the one and only, I was going to say one of the only dads, but we've gotten a lot more dads on the group now.
We sure do. Lots of parents.
Most rounded head of the fathers of Systematic Geekology, the one and only, Pastor Will Rose. How's it going?
Good. I think Justin probably could be, we could be in competition with that. We should have the most rounded head contest. Yeah.
Measure the diameter.
That's right. Rounded.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of stuff that we're geeking out on, I've, of course, it's that time of always, literally always, for me to play Kingdom Hearts all the way through again. And man, see, this time it's special because I played earlier in the year. I got to play the original Game Boy version of Chain of Memories. And I got my Steam Deck and I was like, oh, this is great. I've been having to play the renewed remastered version for so long. And I played it on its own and it was great. And now I'm doing a playthrough of all the games and I'm just using that instead of the remastered version when I play through. I'm doing the new version of everything else. Gotta go retro for that Chain of Memories again. And man, it's just something special about the Game Boy Advance version of that game. I'm loving it, man.
Well, for the record, I am drinking every time he says Kingdom Hearts, but it's water. So I'm not going to be tipsy by the end of this episode. I'm going to be very, very hydrated. I'm going to be so hydrated.
What about you, Will? What are you geeking out on if you can't say Superman?
I'm geeking out on Superman hard. I am. That movie is great. I've seen it twice. And because of that, I'm deep diving in some of the comics, some of the lore. I'm reading a book that Kevin Schaefer recommended, the unauthorized biography of Superman by NPR guy. I don't have his name handy with me, but the book's right over there. I'm not going to go get it. I'm learning a lot by reading this book, and I'm all in. This is fun.
Yeah, yeah. For everyone who's complained about us bantering too long in the intros, it makes me think of like how like I don't know. I want to see Superman really bad, but there's different things that our fandoms can help us do. Sometimes for me right now, Superman's kind of stressing me out because I'm like, I really want to watch it. There's just too much going on in life for me to be able to see it. And avoiding spoilers seems like it's just not going to happen for me at this point. And it's like, man, that stresses me out. And then I also have a Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories where it's like, that's a fandom where life is crazy. And that's something I know I can return to for comfort and de-stress. And Yeah, fandom's a two-edged sword sometimes.
I might be like that way with Fantastic Four. I got a lot to do at the end of this week when it's coming out, and I don't know when I'm going to be able to see it. Hopefully by the end of the weekend, yeah. I might get spoilers beforehand. I'm kind of stressing out when I'm going to see that movie. So,
yeah. And if you love this, or if you don't love this, either way, you can review our show, Podchaser, Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, rate, review, comment, be like, man, these guys need to cut this intro down. And we'll be like, wow, you're the 1 millionth person to tell us, and we're still not doing it. So that's what it is.
Because we like each other and like,
we just have fun. If you want us to hear you a little bit more, we might care slightly more if you were one of the paid supporters of our show. Maybe. I'm not sure if we would care more, but we might. So consider being like the one and only Russell Gentry, and sponsor our show on Apple Podcasts, Captivate, or Patreon. And you can get your own shout out just like Russell for $3 a month. And a chance for us to care slightly more about your complaints. Maybe. Probably not, though. Yeah. If you want to hear other episodes in the Finding the Good series, like this one, then down below description, there's a link. The other ones are slightly different than what we're going to be doing today, but they're a lot of fun. And I think polarization was a good theme to pick this year. It seems like it's relevant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Slightly. So let's jump into this, Will.
Okay.
This episode, we said we're doing differently. We're not going to do the pick sides thing. You know, we've done before Doors and Elves. You've done Magic and Science with Andy. I did Pokemon like Space and Time. That was fun at the beginning of the year. We did a lot of kind of cool, crazy stuff. So instead of what we're going to do, we're dividing this topic into four different main tropes that we see in Disney and Pixar animation. We got four different parental kind of tropes. Well, really three tropes and then a catch-all at the end is what we'll do. So we got the step-parents. We got the dead parents, and we got the overbearing parents, and then we'll do that catch-all at the end. So starting with the step-parents, Will, I think this is why you initially suggested this kind of fitting with the polarization theme. What's the step-parent trope? What is this? What do we see in Disney with the step-parents?
Well, I feel like there's a little prelude here. When we talk about like this series of verses, one against the other, pitting one against the other, and finding the good in the other, part of that exercise is so that we can do our best to try to create these habits of trying to find the good in the other. And even if we don't like that fandom, what is it? Why do we think that our friend or co-host or somewhat mild enemy likes this other thing that I don't like? And so that's a good exercise to have. So when you think of Disney, you think of parents versus their children or these children. Most of the time, you're right. In these Disney films, live action, mostly animated, it is the kid that's set up as the character, the protagonist that they want the children to identify with, to look up to maybe see themselves in the story and see themselves as a hero. And I feel like as you go through correct me if I'm wrong, you're the historian here. I feel like early Disney they really pulled from like Grimm's fairy tales, right? They really pulled from like what's in the, you know, common, what is it? The IPs that are like common ground for anybody to have. Yeah. What's that called?
Free use.
Common domain.
Yeah. Public domain. Open, is what you're thinking of.
Public domain, right? So they're pulling from their stories, making stories. And most of the time in those fairy tales and Grimm's morality tales or whatever, you have the evil stead parent with the kid that either emerges as discovering themselves or who they are. And, you know, they're seen as a nobody, but eventually, you know, deep down inside, they're a princess or a king. And, you know, you can find the king and princess within you. So I think we're talking about step parents. I feel like Disney over the years, the decades have seen that trope maybe isn't healthy. And they try to look at, there are still orphans. There are still kids that are adopted. There are still people and kids that come from broken families that have step parents. How can they work together and be emotionally stable and supportive of one another? Mm-hmm. So we're talking early Disney, late Disney. I think it's important to kind of distinguish between, but the trope is like you have this step parent who doesn't care about this kid because it's not their real kid. It's not their blood family. So therefore they're being abused or isolated or maybe the step parent is jealous towards this kid. And so they have to battle and kind of regardless of how they're being treated, they got to rise above it and become the person that they are called to be in the world with their true selves. Does that make sense to you, that trope of self-discovery in the midst of hardship?
This is like talking to you about Star Wars where you always want to do like, well, actually, I feel like that right now. Okay, so I don't think most Grimm Brothers stories have a step parent. I think most that Disney pull from probably do, because Disney likes that. Disney likes dealing with parents for some reason, positively or negatively. I think all of these tropes are actually kind of well spread out. Even the Grimm use, I think the ones we tend to remember are like Snow White, Disney's first movie, Cinderella, which isn't really one of the first movies. That's silver era of Disney. So that's after the first two batches of films that they do. Even some, like, I want to say that at least one of Beauty. Sleeping Beauty. I think that's silver era also. So we got a lot of the silver era kind of uses Grimm. Rapunzel, that's more modern Disney, and it uses Grimm Brothers. Not really a step parent, but still a bad parent. In fact, I will say probably if I had to pick the worst of the parents, I'm gonna have to go with Grothel. What's her? Isn't her name was like Grothel, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or Gothel.
Gothel, that's right. She's awful.
She's awful. So you have the step parents. From the earlier that they're just awful and mean. You're like, oh wow, that what a nightmare. But then you get to like Big Hero 6. You have
Big Hero 6 is good. That's a good pull.
So here is like a family, but kind of a step parent aunt who's taking care of kids whose parents have passed away, and so you start to get a little better of supportive. I support you. I know you're going through a hard time. How can we support you in this trauma or tragedy or hard time that you're going through? And then would you consider like Zeus and Hera, like with Hercules? You know, doesn't he have a step parent?
And then he has adopted parents and real parents.
Yeah.
I want to say, though, like, okay, so step parents do Lilo and Stitch. If you're going to include aunts and like found family kind of stuff, like, holy crap, man. Like, you have this sister show up who just fully takes on her younger sister. I personally think the live action did that particular relationship better, and that's probably the only thing it does better. But the animated film, man, like, you have her where she's like, I'm going to run a full time job. I'm going to take care of my kid sister. I'm also going to take care of these aliens because why not? She's a boss. She's great. Thinking earlier on than that with step parents is hard. You know, you Cinderella, the evil stepmom, you have Snow White with the evil stepmom. One from the golden era, though, one of the earliest films, if we're going to include like found family kind of stuff, Pinocchio. Man, Geppetto, like that guy's great. He's awesome. He's a great dad. A little bit overbearing. So we probably could fit him in this or the overbearing father kind of. He could be fit in either category, maybe.
He's a step parent. Yeah. Didn't he create
him? Like, I don't really know. I don't know how that works because he's not like biologically his son. We'll keep him for overbearing. We'll put him in that. We'll put him in that category. Okay. Trying to think through. Yeah, I think Lilo and Stitch is the earliest one that I remember that I'm like, I like that step parent or that like found family or, you know, something. You mentioned Hercules. If you want to count his adopted family, they're great.
Yeah.
I feel like Hunchback of Notre Dame, Quasimodo kind of gets adopted by the church. The church is awesome in that film, which is weird. It's also the bad guy, I guess, because you got Frollo. But the actual priest of the cathedral that takes in Quasimodo. That guy's cool.
The pattern of authority figures and those just below authority figures, they're trying to do good to battle against the authority figure institution. there's a trope there.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Are there any earlier ones that aren't awful? I really don't think there are. I think they're all bad at like the. I think you're onto something here. I think it's probably around the Renaissance era of Disney when they were like, maybe sometimes step parents can be not evil, perhaps.
Let's not be so
I'll do a shout out here. Have you ever watched Once Upon a Time, ABC's Once Upon a Time?
Yeah. Yes.
They kind of redo some of those step parents, you know, the evil queen. They kind of give her a little bit of a redemption arc in that, you know, so she was that evil step parent who's still kind of like jealous, you know, whatever. They kind of redeem some of the characters in that show. It is a very wild show, not for the faint of heart, not for those who hold these stories sacred. But if you're able to play with them a little free, it's great.
What years were those? My kids loved those, and we were watching as a family. It was ABC
and
Disney.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I think mostly.
Yeah,
it kind of lost the ball a little bit as it went on. But all right, so what do you think? Like, who are some of the main offenders that you would like to identify? And who would you say maybe some of the, we mentioned some of the better ones already. Who are the main offenders? We talked about the evil queen, Cinderella's mom, and any others that you're like, This is when that trope's not done very well.
Oh, it's definitely the Cinderella's mom or stepmom, right? Because she's got a real daughters who are really jealous, and they're like really, they bully her so bad. And then she eventually becomes the chosen one or the one that the prince is looking for. But they are just so bratty, spoiled, bully, and the mom condones all that or stepmom or whatever. Like, it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. Awful. Absolutely awful. Man, we were going to shout out the best for each. I think I already did, though. Like, I think for me, Nani, man, like, holy crap. And, you know, I'll shout out, even though it's about the animated, that live action version where she's like ends up discovering that she can get help and still go to school and have a life of her own and still is going to care for her sister. Like, it's just done so well. And what I really appreciate about that movie is it shows like, hey, sometimes the stuff gets messy, but that doesn't mean that the people are evil. The step parent isn't evil. The child services people aren't evil. I like a little bit of nuance in some of this. I think that.
I'll pick Aunt Cass from Big Hero 6. Like, I think, you know, trying to take care of family and help kids out. Like, I like that supportive, but also acknowledging what the kids are going through and trying to find their creative outlet and who they're going to become.
Yeah. All right. I dig it.
Hey, friends, your pal Will Rose here. Sometimes I ask myself, self, have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Yes. Yes, I have. And well, if you're like me, you want Systematic Ecology to continue to grow and thrive. And you can do that by joining Patreon for as little as $3 a month. As a patron, you get bonus episodes. We answer bonus questions that our patrons get to hear. We have special shout outs. We have certain episodes that the patrons pick. So you help us create and curate the content that we put out for the world to hear. You even get free merch. And when I say that we're a worldwide podcast, that I'm not being hyperbolic. Somebody told me that we have over 20,000 subscribers from all over the world, and just half of those subscribers join Patreon for $3 a month. We would be set on keeping moving forward with the tech that we need to have the quality of podcast that we want our hearers to experience. And it'll help us get to certain events and conventions so that we can see you face to face and geek out with you in person. And let me just share that there's no shame, no guilt. If you can't join Patreon at this point, that's okay. That's okay. Just keep listening, keep sharing, keep liking, because yes, we're proud of what we're doing at Systematic Ecology. And friends, guess what? You can subscribe to Patreon for free to receive one extra bonus episode a month via the Patreon or Spotify app. That is fantastic. And we're glad that you're a part of it.
All right, let's move on to that that next trope, dead parents. So maybe one, maybe both. Our parents are out of the picture. Will, do you want to kind of summarize what the trope is? You want me to do it? How are you feeling?
You chime in on the trope on this one, and then I'll add, because I got you. Probably my prequel thing.
To some extent, there are a lot of rumors that has to do with Walt's relationship with his own mother. You see a lot of moms dying, but you also see dads dying occasionally. But this is a thing throughout all of Disney, Finding Nemo, Bambi, one of the first films. You got Bambi. Dumbo gets separated from his mom. I don't think she dies. I'm not sure, though. Simba loses Mufasa. Yeah. You have a lot of these, like the one parent or both parents die. And it's like, how do we continue? Coco has some of that a little bit.
Frozen
definitely has it. Tarzan. I'm trying to think that there's I'll think of it later. Princess and the Frog. That's the other one I was thinking of. The dad dies, but the mom's still around. So, and his death does play a meaningful part of the story still.
In which you can count also orphans in this. You know, I think of the rescuers. You have Penny, you know, who's abandoned and kidnapped from the evil villains. You got the precursor to Goonies, I guess. And then you have the Sword in the Stone. The parents are out of the picture, just somebody who's there. So that trope of like a young kid without their parents still having to grow up way too fast with way too many responsibilities to understand who they are without their family around to really shape or help them grow into the person, whether they're unrealistic expectations or just love and nurture to help them get to where they can be, growing up way too fast or taking on way too many responsibilities before they're able to as young
ones. I think Bambi is probably the one that most people remember. Bambi's mom. Everybody remembers Bambi's mom. I think most people, like my generation, probably immediately think of Nemo. But those two, I think, are the most memorable, but happens a lot, a whole lot. What do you think is the worst offender where you're like, ah, man, this is not how I wish they would have handled that?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I think if we're going to include Penny in the rescuers, the worst offender is that she's a 6-year-old orphan who's like kidnapped to try to use her as a tool to get like a diamond or whatever, you know, chasing that money and riches, this poor kid. And then these mice and animals trying to go and help. Let's go the rescue society or whatever they're called. Let's go find Penny. Like that kidnapper, it's not a parent, but it's definitely a kid that's alone that doesn't have any parents that's to fend for themselves. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes to mind. I know it's a really old pool, but that's the one.
I'm going to be a little controversial. I love the film. I still love the message of the film, but man, I don't like Mufasa dying. It's not that I don't like him dying. I don't like how it's handled. And mind you, they're just straight up pulling from Shakespeare. So I guess I'm really complaining about Shakespeare. But like, it shows this picture of like where Simba runs away and grows up by himself because his uncle made him feel guilty about it. Plays all this, like the story. It's a great story. But like when I think about it, I'm like, man, I don't like, hey, evil uncle. This is child raised up by himself. And Hakuna Matata, man, this was so much fun with Timon and Pumbaa. And like, yeah, he learns to be an adult later on. But I'm like, man, I don't know. I just kind of wish it was done differently. I like it for the story's purpose. But as far as like the message it tells, I'm like, not my favorite. Not my favorite. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Send your angry emails to joshua@yahoo.net.
It's perfect. I wouldn't actually change anything about Lion King, but if I'm going to say the worst part, like parent-wise, like how it was handled, you know what I mean? He didn't end up having to not have a parent, and like, it's fine. And I kind of like, maybe we could add something. We're like...
Yeah, just understanding of like escapism, and I'm going to like have no worries, and how all that is just unrealistic. Yeah. There's other people connected to is kind of like nihilistic hedonistic understanding of I'm just gonna live for myself.
Do like a remaster and just like show that actually Mufasa was watching over him the whole time, or maybe Rafiki was kind of stepping in here and there and helping him out, you know, maybe something. I don't know. I'm just being nitpicky. It's hard to really be like, man, that parent's death was bad, because like usually it's done in a way that's meaningful to the story. Like even Nemo, like the whole thing is like dealing with like, hey, this loss, like you don't just lose the person that died. You lose a part of who the dad is. You lose a part of who the kid could have been. Like, there's not a good way to do that story, because that story sucks, but it's a story we need.
You know? I mean, if only Qui-Gon was around to train Anakin, it'd be a whole different story.
So true. So if you had to pick...
Disney. We're talking Star Wars. We're going to do Disney. There's Star Wars. We could talk about bad parents in Disney.
If you had to pick a Star Wars. What's the best dead Disney parent? What a weird question.
What's the best
dead parent?
Well, we got Frozen. You can make it. They isolated their kid and they're gone, and these sisters have to pull together and understand how to be sisters together. Like the way they pulled off that storytelling of parents that are no longer there, but what they really search for at the end. That's the story that those are so good movies. I love Frozen. How they rebound.
Yeah, that's good. I do like Frozen. I still kind of wish there was somebody there helping parentally. Yeah. But okay, here's mine. I'm kind of cheating because she still has a parent left, but Princess and the Frog. Tiana's whole story, like, especially because she grows up wanting to achieve her dad's dream because, her dad passed away. And it wasn't till later on in the movie that she kind of realizes, wait a minute, the reason my dad didn't achieve the dream isn't because he couldn't have, it's because there's things that are more valuable. So she's still learning from her dad who had passed away. And I'm just like, yeah, I like how that was done. Just because someone is no longer physically here doesn't mean you're not still learning. I still regularly, I think of my one grandfather, and he had this thing he'd say where he's like, I love you, and there ain't nothing you could do about it. And still, like, all the time where I'm like talking to somebody about, religion or God or whatever, and they're like, oh, is God coercive? Does God control it? Does God whatever? And I'm like, listen, all I know is that a grandpa, he believed in that kind of God that you guys are talking about saying is bad. And, maybe I don't believe in the same God that he would have articulated if I had to make him take a theology quiz. But at the end of the day, he's one of the few people that I knew who could honestly say, I love you, and there ain't nothing you could do about it. And I think at the end, we could get our theology wrong If we end up there, cool. And I'm still learning from him, so I feel like I like that. If we're going to have a dead parent, let's show that they're still there in some way. And they do that with Mufasa too, I guess, just in a more literal way. And I don't know. I kind of like it where it's more like she remembers thing and is still learning from his legacy, you know?
Yeah. Well, and if you can mention Kingdom Hearts, and I can mention that maybe one of the worst dead parents is Anakin Skywalker because Darth Vader killed him. But then, you know, you have Bail Organa taking care of Leia. You know, she has a dead parent where her mom, they're all gone and she's still being raised. Mm-hmm. And there's the force guiding her destiny. Same with Luke and his uncle and aunt.
If I'm going to include Kingdom Hearts, you know, I might say it's the worst dead parent, but I'm not, you know. We don't find out for sure that Sora's parents die. He just runs away. We never see his parents. They acknowledge that they exist at some point. What happens to him? I don't know. I know at one point the world he came from is completely immersed in the realm of darkness. So probably not good.
See what can of worms I opened up, folks. You see what I did.
Anyway. All right. Let's move on to the next one then. Overbearing parents. You want to go through the trope. What is the trope of the overbearing mom or dad in Disney?
It's the helicopter parent, the overbearing parent that really wants to protect their child so they don't get in any trouble or any danger happening, either because they know that they are special and they don't want the world to know they're special because then they'll come down on them or have the extra pressures, or they're really scared they're going to get hurt, or they themselves have experienced trauma and they don't want that trauma to be on their child. So they're really trying to save them from the world, wrap them in bubble wrap so they don't get hurt at all. But what you're really doing is not letting them live life and experience life to the fullest so that they can learn for themselves how to live in the world on their own.
I like that. I think to me the go-to example, I don't know if this is the worst one, but King Trident with the Little Mermaid, you know, doesn't want her to see land, doesn't want her to act with people at all, and he's just warning about the danger. I've heard speculation that it has to danger do with like who his wife was, their mom was, but they don't say that in the film. It's just straight up no. You know, which I mean, thinking of it, Nemo probably can fit this too. You know, Merlin was like, hey, don't do anything. I don't even want you to go to school.
Yeah, that's part of the thing too, is like what's frustrating about some of this trope is that if you would sit your child down and just have a conversation of why you have these choices and really be honest with like, we lost your mom, or I'm really scared at this point, I think your kid would resonate with those feelings and it could help you through and you could work through that. So I think you're like three or four conversations that could happen that could help this. But instead they're like, nope, this is the rules and that's it. And you're like, no, communicate with your child. You know, half of my parenting is communicating and explaining why I feel the way I do, the choices that I have for our family and us, and why you can or can't do something is because there's something behind it. And if you just explain a little bit what's behind it and the reasons, it seems like you would go a far way. So that's the frustrating part of watching these movies. I'm like, just explain yourself.
A lot of what you deal with Riku and Kingdom Hearts at the end of the first game just wouldn't happen if Geppetto was less overbearing with Pinocchio. Just saying.
I ran out of water, folks. I need to go get a refill.
I do think Geppetto is probably a really good example. And it's one of those where, like, I point to it and I'm like, I get it. That's the thing. I think that's the most annoying thing with the overbearing parent for me is, like, a lot of the times I'm like, I don't like it, but I get it. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, humans suck. Yeah. King Trident does have a point. Geppetto is like, hey, I have a kid through an entire miracle. There is absolutely no reason this puppet should be alive. If you see some of the other stories and stuff around it, it's like he doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have any potential for children. He had this dream. And he thought it was completely lost. And now he has a son. He's like, no, I'm not letting anything happen to you.
No, I don't want anything to happen to you. Same way with Marlin too, is like there's real dangers. The ocean is dangerous. You got Bruce. You got jellyfish. You have currents, you have all kinds of things that you're like, wow, it's a scary, scary. Mm-hmm. There are barracudas. That's what took your mom out. Like, what are we going to do here? And so there are real dangers, but if you address them, walk through them, process them together, I think that makes a world of difference.
I mean, even what happens in Brave with Merida probably doesn't happen if his dad's a little less overbearing. Her mom probably doesn't get cursed, turn into a bear, and you don't have a movie that should have just been titled Mother Bear as a sequel to Brother Bear, because that would have been more fun for me.
Well, there you go. There's my vote for most top overbearing parent.
Mother Bear.
You're so overbearing that your mom gets turned into a bear. Yeah,
that's bad. That might be the worst one, actually.
I'm going to just jump to that question right now. there's my pick.
I think Zeus gently touches this trope, you know, because you do have that where like you have to earn divinity before you're allowed into Olympus. It's less, I think, directly Zeus's fault and more of like, hey, that's just how physics work in this movie for some reason. But, you know, which maybe Zeus is just an example of how this is done well. Like, he wants the best for his son. He wants all this. And then when his son makes a different decision, he respects that decision. Zeus does it pretty well. Might be because Hercules is the best Disney film. Maybe. Who knows? I couldn't say.
Well, if we're going to ask that question of what's done well, I'm thinking of Marlon. I mean, you just really feel for him because he's a deep grief of losing. He's the only fish egg that made, you know, and he is, and the mom is gone. It's really scary. I guess it's terrifying. That barracuda is terrifying. And then you have the class. It's very cute. I mean, I love Nemo, Finding Nemo so much. It's such a great movie. And I was smitten with it. I love the ocean. Yeah, it's no secret. I love the ocean. I love aquariums. I love it. But I think you really feel for him, and he wants to protect him, and he sees like, you know, when he needs it, but then he's lost and he goes on a hunt and experienced the ocean himself and the dangers. He then says, this is how I can be a better parent and help you along the way. He has a redemption arc. He learns along the way and he can pass that on.
Yeah. I feel bad because I'm not choosing any of like the old Disney films for this. I feel like I don't like the old Disney parents that much. I like the stories a lot. I love Pinocchio is like one of my top stories, you know, Dumbo. Like, I love these. I'm just like, I don't know. The parents don't stand out to me as much. Encanto, though, if I'm going to go overbearing parent and grandparent, overbearing family, really, because it's more of a family dynamic. I think that'll probably be my top pick for like when it's done the best, because you do see where like it is generational trauma. Like, it's not just a point face. Like, her parents aren't just being overbearing. They have a responsibility. Their family means something different to them in that context and in that culture. You see what happened to Bruno, and it's like, okay, there's a lot of nuance, a lot of complications here. And when they address it, it's not just, okay, well, now we made up and I'm going to let you be who you are. It's more of a, actually, no, it's a lot more complicated than that, because family is complicated. But we do all have a place. You are important. Mm-hmm. We're all important. And there's a way that we can maintain our family and what we think is important without having such a tight hold on it that maybe we lose all everything. Yeah.
And if you think about like the progress and evolution of Disney, you think about like what they did at the beginning, just pulling these fairy tales and evil stepmother, stepfather, whatever. And then you get to Encanto and you have like, they really know the psychology around and the science around like generational trauma and trying to help people and kids think through, it's entertainment, it's animation, but also these stories we tell with each other is to help us process our own trauma, generational trauma, and hopefully that can help make the world a better place. So you see the progression of what Disney have done over the decades, how they've grown and maybe some resources and consulting that they've used to help them tell better stories. There's not just stereotypes.
I'm not convinced I would say better stories, but I get what you're saying. I think in a lot of cases, they sacrifice story for message personally, because I think some of those stories early on, like Pinocchio, was great. And part of why it's great is because of how poorly some people make decisions in that film, you know? And sometimes that's realistic too. Mm-hmm. Special shout out. And maybe I should have said this for my top pick instead. Searcher Clade, also for overbearing parent. Great film. Strange World. I'm not sure. I feel like a lot of people missed this one. And then I'm sad about it. Yeah. Well, a lot of people missed Strange World specifically because a lot of people were angry about it because, you know, Ethan Clade turns out to be gay, which it's a gay woke movie. Ooh, that's evil and kids shouldn't watch it. But man, I watched that film. It's way better than the advertisements gave it. And I think it's because Disney was also afraid of being, you know, facing the anti-woke mob. But man, you have this overbearing dad, Searcher, who doesn't want his son to do something. And it turns out it's because his dad, Jaeger Clade, did that very thing where he was going out on an adventure to see what's out there and got lost and died. And so Searcher tries to prevent his son, Ethan, from going out there. And actually, the father and son, Searcher and Ethan, end up reconciling and they discover their whole strange world. Huge spoiler warning, isn't actually a world. And if they didn't do any of this and his son didn't go adventure, they just simply all would have died, the whole community. So really showing that and then juxtaposing it with the experience of someone who is attracted to the same sex, even though they don't make a huge deal about it in the movie, for those of us who live in our real world, you can see that and go, oh yeah, that's a lot of parents, especially in religious communities, are doing this right now. And maybe if we let go a little bit, we could save our planet, perhaps. That'd be cool.
I like that message. That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What other positive? Because, you know, sometimes they're just good parents. Sometimes we're just like, yeah, I actually just freaking love these parents.
Weren't the Andersons and Inside Out, weren't they supportive and trying to work through with their
kids? Yeah, that's what I was going to shout out to. Inside Out, those parents are great.
Yeah, they're really trying to understand and help their child work through their emotions and the expectations put upon them. So I think and the change that we all go through in our emotions and how we grow and to become the people that we are. Those parents do a good job doing the best they can.
Yeah. I should have mentioned Raya's dad when I talk about like dead parents earlier, because that was a good story. That was a good film. But man, thinking of other just like positive parents throughout Disney, man, it's funny because I just don't usually spend as much attention to the parents. Pocahontas's dad, I think he was good.
Yep.
So I like him.
You got Bob and Helen from The Incredibles doing the best they can. They go through the life crisis. Yeah. They're trying to bring their team
Incredibles
in.
Incredibles are great.
There you go. You got a family, parents. It shows what happens when kind of midlife hits and you get in a rut and you're like, am I doing living the same day over again? I want adventure. And then the tension and the tragedy within the movie forces them to think through what really matters to them in the long run and what they really truly care about. And they pull together as a superhero team and work together and learn how to use their gifts together as a family. And that's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate goal. You're different people, different personalities, different gifts, but then how do you work together as a team? There you go.
Yeah. Pongo and Perdita, the Dalmatians parents, they were great.
Yep.
They went to literally hell and back to get their kids back. Like, I love them. There's so many. If we're going to count Lady and the Tramp too, then both Lady and Tramp are actually pretty cool parents. I like them. there's a lot to pull from. Brother Bear, you see some kind of parental stuff that I love. If I were to pick my all-time parental commentary of Disney, top pick, TJ, this is for you because we love you. Treasure Planet does it best, man. Treasure Planet does this particular thing best. The mom, she does a little bit of the overbearing, but she acknowledges her own weakness early on and lets go. The try to force a father figure on him because he had a dead dad. There we go. Dead parent. We already got this. Try to force this father figure on him because they're in a relationship. So you kind of have like that step parent thing and it's done really well, except for he just doesn't connect with him. Then he does connect with this other person, John Silver. And it turns out that guy isn't the best, but isn't just strictly bad because none of us are only sinners. We're all saint and sinner at the same time.
Look at you.
And there we go. Right. And you see this relationship he develops with John Silver and he learns like how to be his own man from this guy and also realizes he can't just trust everyone. And then comes back and is actually goes from rebellious teen to kid who understands that there's nuance in everybody and does a little bit better with his mom and his potential stepdad. Even though I think he mostly just wants to be a pirate and be like John Silver. Like, there's just so many nuances, so many different characters here that all play a part. And it plays into all of those big tropes that I think we talked about. And it's just done really well.
Nice.
TJ's got a point with this one.
Good job, TJ. We're proud of you.
Yeah. What about you? If you would have picked like an all-time best parental situation in Disney, where are we going?
How about Toy Story? How about Andy's mom? Let's,
I know next to nothing about.
Yeah, I don't either. We don't either. Everything's off screen, but she lets her kid play with cool toys and
that's true.
And helps through the transitions of from being a kid to adolescence to high school and college and, you know, all those things, these toys. But like, you know, Andy's mom is never portrayed as somebody who's like negative, but I do like Finding Nemo. I'll go back as I would talk about this, like Marlin's learning curve on how to be a parent and the adventures along the way shapes him into having some empathy towards those who he shares an ocean with and taking care of his kid. I think the transition and the redemption arc, the learning curve where you arrive at the end, I think is pretty special.
Okay. I thought of one more. And I'm going to stop after this. And actually, man, this might, I'm going to put this as a tie with Treasure Planet, I think, because I forgot about this guy. Massimo Marcovaldo from the film Luca. It's a Pixar film that was straight to Disney Plus during like the COVID years. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, dude. So first off, you have a lot of the Little Mermaid situation, but backwards, which is fine. You have a little bit of like, maybe this is same sex relationship stuff without it being blatant. So they don't have to deal with the woke mob as much, the anti-woke mob. as much, but like you see where like he's a sea monster and that makes him different, and he's trying to hide because he really wants to live here and he's afraid to go back to where he came from because his home life under the sea wasn't great, and he's in hiding and he's with this guy. And here we have Massimo doesn't know the situation. You know what, he doesn't really ask a lot of questions. This kid wants help. Cool, you're my son now. You came to me, now you're my child. Everyone freaks out because he's a sea monster and all there. The whole town's freaking out. And he says, stop freaking out. That's my son. It's just like, man, this guy, he's a man of very few words. He gives a hug at the right moment, but he's like very much like this macho, like, oh, kind of guy, a few words, big muscular type. And like, you just don't expect him to be who he is. And he's like, I'm just going to love you. I don't need to say a lot of words to love you. I don't need to do a whole lot, but I'm going to be there. And if the whole town freaks out because you're a sea monster, guess what? I'm still going to love you. That's just a good dad, man. And I think maybe a little betrayal of what the Heavenly Father could be like, perhaps. Maybe he doesn't care if you're a sea monster or what you're into. He's just like, hey, man, I'm just going to love you. Okay. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Wow, look at that callback. Yeah. Of course, you also got a bitch of like Coco, but that's like a granddad. So like that doesn't count.
But that's the name of this episode.
Great film.
We love you and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the name of this episode.
It should be. It should be. Listen, AI, when I have you titled episode.
Oh, man. Did it enough, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure I'm going to kick myself for not mentioning one later on.
Oh, yeah. But, and so, folks, if you're listening to this and you're like, why didn't you say this? Why didn't you say that? That's why you can chime in on the social medias.
Yeah.
You can message us. You like chime in and let us know. We can't possibly, over the course of 50 minutes, name and get into every single person's favorite Disney trope or with parents versus children. I'm sure we're forgetting something. Megan, if you're listening, chime in the comments and let us know what we missed.
All right, guys, for full transparency, you're going to have to go to YouTube. Will and I realized we did forget maybe the best Disney parent. And of course, there's other stuff in YouTube that's totally worth it. Drop in the comments. We still want to hear what you guys think we missed and what we should have covered. There's way too many Disney parents that we could have. We could never cover them all in an episode. But thank you guys again. And let's get back to the episode. Yeah. What's killing me is I feel like we named a lot from like gold era, silver era, Renaissance, revival, post-Renaissance even, because we did Treasure Island. But I'm like, man, we really left out that bronze and the package film era. And I'm like, man, all right, Will, before we finish, I need to know, what kind of parent do you think you are most like? Like, which one of these parents throughout all of Disney's catalog are you like, man, I'm probably more like, even if you're like, man, I wish I didn't have to say this, but I'm more like King Triton. Or if you're like, you know what, straight up, I'm that dad in Luca. Like, what? Where do you put yourself?
I'm Mufasa, and I hope I don't get run over by a herd or something. This is hard. I was talking about where I am for life. I feel like knowing hands you a manual, like the perfect way to parent your kids. But I think we've done a decent job. Our kids have shared we've done a decent job. We haven't been perfect. We've made mistakes. We've learned as we've gone. But I feel like our instincts and how much we love our kids and family and the faith community around us, we've been pretty good parents. And but right now in my life, I think of Mr. Incredible Bob, who is having a hard time fitting in his uniform because I'm in my 50s. You know, I got a little extra weight on me. I'm not as quick to my feet on the surfboard as I used to be, but I still got it. I still have a spark there. I want to be make a difference in the world, and my energy level is enough that I feel like I can do these things. And I want to take care of my kids and help them discover their gifts and so they can be their own hero out in the world. So I'm not second guessing my career or my marriage, but I will say like where I am in life, like midlife right now, I identify with Bob, Mr. Incredible. And I still want to have that spark to be a hero that
that's
I can.
Good. Yeah. That's I like it. I'm not a parent. If I were, I think I'd be a lot like Geppetto. Like, I really do, for better or worse, you know, like, he's overbearing, but he's not super overbearing. He's just like, hey, I think it's crazy that I have a kid. Like, that's just wild. So I want to protect you. And maybe sometimes I forget to tell you that that's why I'm doing things. And his kid's wrestling with, like, am I a real boy or am I not? And Geppetto's always there to be like, no, you're my son. even if he doesn't always say it the right way. So like, I'm thinking, hey, maybe I'd be like that. I might not always say it the right way, but I'd like to say, think that I'd be that dad who want to protect my kid and is like, you know what? I love you. I do.
And there's nothing you can do.
Of course you're valued.
And there's nothing.
Yeah, I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. I will always say that because, I don't know. As long as that phrase is alive, my pawpaw's alive in my mind.
There you go.
You know?
And you're a crazy dog, is, you're a dog parent. Like you parent. Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Humans are different than dogs, but you're taking care of this being, sentient being probably. And they, how you treat your dog. You know, and say, I love you. Nothing you can do about it. Even when you bark during podcasts, nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny too, is that line, according to my papa, wasn't his line. That came from his dad. Oh. And he said, you know, my dad always said, and I'm like, papa, you've always said that. Well, I've never met your dad, but you've said that since I was a kid. So, to me, you've always said that. And to him, it was his dad who always said that. And you know, there's probably someone out there who's like, yeah, Josh used to be my youth leader. And for some reason, he always said this thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I like it. As long as that's out in the world, I think our world's a little bit of a better place. I like to think.
And seeing I have our phrases and things that are important that we repeat. And our kids definitely joke about, like, they play Cindy Bingo, Will Bingo. You know, like, oh, bingo. Yeah,
what's Will's catchphrase? What's Will's catchphrase?
You know, there's entanglement. There is, hey, have you heard of this thing about Star Wars or superheroes or, oh, surfing? But then also, you know, how they see themselves as special and how to take care of one another, I think is a big part of how we're parents. Yeah.
I had a coworker do a I forget. I did something. He said something and then I started like mocking. I was like, oh, I'm Tyler. And then I was like, hey, if you were to do that to me, how do I sound? And he was like, oh, I'm Josh. The store is on fire. 6 people called out and only 5 were scheduled, but it's going to be a great day, guys.
I'm keeping it positive.
I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fair. Hey, listen, if that's the mock version of me, I like the mock me.
First thing.
Yeah. First thing. All right, guys. Well, we're going to start wrapping this one up because I have to go. But we're still going to try and do real quick a bonus question after this for our patrons because we love you guys that much. We're going to answer if we had to err as parents, if we had to pick an error, we get to choose between overbearing, dead, or... or step parent, which how are we gonna air? So if you want to hear that, hang around. But hey, as far as recommendations go, man, super easy. Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, I mentioned that earlier. If you can get the Game Boy Advance version, it's an excellent game. I kept thinking, like, man, this is such a subpar game compared to some of the other ones. It's like this and Dream Drop Distance aren't great. And it's like, no, remastered Chain of Memories is not great. Original Chain of Memories is still awesome. So that's my recommendation. Will, what about you?
If you want to really have a reflection on parents and humanity and what's important or not, go see Superman.
Man, I wish I could. I might. We'll see. Guys, if you're on a laptop, please listen to the rate and review on our show, Good Pods, Podchaser, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. You know, when you rate review, it's free. It only takes a few minutes. You can comment on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And it just helps more people see the show. So if you like what we're doing, that's a free way to help us get other people to see this. And we appreciate that. We also appreciate our financial sponsors from Apple Podcasts, Captivate, and Patreon. Today, we're especially shouting out Russell Gentry. You rock, Russell. You're our first ever patron for anything I've ever done. So you're the coolest. And remember, guys, if you win your own shout out like Russell, you too can support our show for $3 a month on one of those three platforms. Again, it's Apple Podcasts, Captivate, or Patreon. Mm. And of course, we need you to do one very important thing for us. And remember, was it share the faith, share the geek?
Look, you're choosing the opposite side. Let's get now. Finding the good. You found the good in my catchphrase.
'Kay guys, again, thank you so much for listening to our show and being part of the Systematic Geekology team. If you want to support our team, you can do so by going to Captivate. And I know most people don't listen on Captivate, but it's in the description wherever you're listening. You can go to our website. At the very bottom, you have the options to either subscribe and you'll get some extra content and fun stuff like our bonus questions, all those kind of things that hopefully you all come to love as much as I love making them with our fellow geekologists on the team. We also are hoping to do some future D&D campaigns, stuff like that. And all that's available for our sponsors. But if you don't have those extra funds and you're not really into the subscription thing, you can also leave a one-time tip, just one-time thing to help out our show as we kind of stay in the game with podcasting, keep relevant with all the technology and all that stuff. And it costs a lot to run a show, and we appreciate you for your help. Again, thank you so much for listening. We value your time, and we really, it means a lot to us that you give us your time by listening to our show and supporting us in that way. If you feel led to support financially as well, we appreciate that. Let's get back to the show.
Hello there, listener. Thanks for listening. This is Evan Garcia. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We just wanted to come in and remind you that this episode is part of a bigger network of podcasts called the Anazal Podcast Network. We have great shows like the Whole Church Podcast, Kung Fu Pizza Party, and the Homily with Pastor Chill Will. Chill Will, the podcast has sermons from our host, Pastor Will. Great sermons every time. The Kung Fu Pizza Party is Brandon Knight showing his expertise and his passion for everything kung fu films, and he dispenses a bunch of wisdom. Great show. And the Whole Church Podcast, where Josh and TJ interview people from different denominations and church traditions to pursue greater church unity. It's a great podcast to see what other denominations are included. And we just want to say thank you so much for listening. See you next time.